Mr. City Manager, how are you?
So tonight, I'm doing good. For the pre-council, we have one item, and it's potential uses of reserve funds that we want to go through the council on. So Matthew, if you would lead us off, I'd appreciate it. These are a collection of things we've heard you all talk about and things that we received from the public, and so we wanted to present this and get your direction.
The first thing we wanted to talk about was the business license and health inspection rebate program, which would be a program that would basically reimburse businesses for their business license and health inspection fees from 2020. You had a question earlier, Mr. Mayor, about the number of potential bars or restaurants that we have, and the number of places that we have that sell liquor is 571. So it's about 13% of all businesses. Together with the inspection fees, the food inspection fee, the liquor license, and the business license, that 13% represents about $328,000. The second piece would be a hotel, motel, or concert venue reimbursement for COVID-related expenses. And these would be expenses that hotels, motels, and concert venues experienced through the COVID, through the time of the pandemic.
You know how that would be identified and central fiscal note on that?
The specifics of it have not been put together yet, but
this is just a concept.
Yeah. Yes. I think, Mayor, what we would probably end up doing is looking at the things they had to do for COVID, maybe such as putting plexiglass up and things of that nature that weren't anticipated, things of that.
Not necessarily business losses or.
Correct.
Yeah, just a question, and that is, this is all has to do with surpluses that have already accrued over the last year in 2020. And so this is not taking any consideration for the potential for the new bill to come out and so on and so forth.
This is in response to the potential funding we could receive for reimbursement of 2020 expenses.
So like a concert venue that has a liquor license, they would be reimbursed for that, but then also for the other COVID expenses, whatever
yes.
you come up with. But other businesses would not be eligible for the plexiglass or PPE or whatever.
Not at this time, but these are just thoughts at the time. So if at the end of the presentation, if there's something that you want to see in, we could definitely talk about it and talk about funding for it. For public assistance program, we've looked at three pieces. Utility assistance program, providing assistance for utility customers, vocational training assistance, and affordable housing funding. Randy is here if you want a little breakdown of those programs. Thoughts, questions?
I have a whole list of questions, and I'm happy to wait until you're done.
Why don't we go through the whole thing, and then we'll do that.
Internal pandemic-related improvements would include a council chamber redesign, and it's not so much of a redesign, but a sort of lifting these outside portions up to be at the same level as the rest of the dais. We had an update to the audio and visual in the council chambers and in 1A, 1B, municipal core redesign, and then the first floor customer experience, where currently a customer may have may have to go through three different doors to take care of business, and this would kind of stop that and have them be able to come to one place and take care of everything at once. Or other identified uses are for public safety overtime expenses is $550,000 for fire and $100,000 for police. FY21 wage increases, and which we'll talk about later, and then wage and benefits study that was scheduled. I believe it was scheduled for next year, but I think there are enough issues that we have now that we want to push that up and do it this year. So here's a list of the potential uses and the totals. Like I said, this is conceptual. So if there are any changes or anything that you would like to see, we can definitely talk about those tonight.
Can I ask you to go back one slide? Mm-hmm. I don't have as many questions as Ms. Fowler, I don't think. The public safety overtime expenses, I mean, we're paying our firemen and our police officers anyway, correct?
Yes.
So when we're using this reserve money for the overtime expenses, why? I mean,
these are overtime expenses that are over and above what was budgeted.
Okay, and this is money that we've received to support them. No, it's not. This is just our reserve money. Never mind.
That's right. But it's in line with what we did last year, what we asked from the county of the CARES funding. So all police and fire wages, overtime, all that was applicable to the CARES Act funding. And so this year, it just sort of ran over. We had increase in overtime for both police and fire, and it's still due to the pandemic.
Okay, thanks.
Yes.
No, that's all right. Are you done?
I don't know. You can go ahead. It's your show.
Do you have another slide?
Yes, one slide. It was just where we sort of broke them out into three specific pieces: employee-related cost, assistance to provide to residents, and then increased public access.
So before we get started, then we'll open up for questions and things like that, but I thought it may be helpful for us just to have a general discussion about either not so much philosophy, but a values statement here that, look, I think it's important we not consider this a slush fund that we're coming back and you know, going through this wish list of items, but maybe as a council we determine, is there consensus among, you know, three types? And I like the potential the way you've described it here. I would probably express it more in the form of, you know, how do we use this money to either stimulate the economy, to help workers or families or businesses recover, but also how do we look at the long-term impacts of the pandemic to make our community better than we were before? And I'll use the example of working from home. I don't think that's just going to be a fad from 2020. I think there are going to be people that will continue to work from home, that may choose to shop online, that use online learning. Is there an investment that we can make in our community that, A, makes us more resilient to what happened in the past, but also maybe makes us more attractive in terms of long-term economic benefit from this and other monies that we have available? And there may be other values there, but I thought rather than start, you know, you may have a list of things, I have a list of things, or can we all agree on how this money should be invested or passed on or put to its best use that leverages greater benefits? Mr. Scott.
Yeah, just a couple of comments along those lines. I mean, one of the things is that we all looked at this COVID thing as kind of a temporary emergency. I mean, it's kind of lasted longer than we thought, and it may persist for a while. So there are those kinds of things. But when it comes to the permanent change, and I agree with the mayor, I think there are some things like working from home and even the issues we have with, we started out thinking about broadband hotspots, for example, to help with education and so on in the school district. That really doesn't work very well, and you really can't do online learning with a cell phone. You have to have computers, and there certainly has to be enough broadband. I serve on the broadband business planning task force, so we're taking up some of these issues currently. But that's one of the considerations that we ought to be thinking about. And all of this ought to be tied into all the work that was done on our strategic plan and our strategic plan update. So all of this ought to relate to what the strategic plan is. But I think you're right. This should not be just a slush fund. All of a sudden we're spending all this money to reimburse folks. But it ought to serve the public interest in the long term, beyond even the COVID exigency that we've suffered, which has lingering effects. But nonetheless, it also has concomitant changes that we ought to consider when we think about our investment in the future with some of these excess funds. So.
Comments on that? Just general opening remarks.
I do, and I appreciate your setting, summarizing three focus areas for us, Mayor. I am particularly concerned about the folks that were marginally able to meet their needs before COVID and now are behind and will take a lot longer for them if they can even catch up. And the working from home dilemma that you talk about actually is a block to an upward promotional path for many people, because if you don't have a computer, if you don't have fast internet, you're not even eligible to apply for some of these office worker jobs that would perhaps provide better for your family. So I would prefer that we have a focus on meeting the unmet needs of our community and helping to bring our economy back, because if our economy comes back, our folks that are accustomed to having those extra jobs because they work festivals or they work bars or they work restaurants part-time, that's how they meet their expenses, and they've been unable to use those in the last year. So yes, I agree with your three focus areas, and then I have some specifics I'd like to mention.
Go ahead. Anybody else want to have generic comments before we get into some specifics? Dr. Peters?
I just want to support what you said, Mayor, about, we need to look, and what Carl said, we need to look broadly at, what are the goals we're trying to meet, and, involve our strategic plan and look at it more globally than just one piece at a time, although the one piece at a time is important too. So
I just want to make sure as we throw out, items that are on our list, and there's a lot of needs out there, that we're evaluating them against a value statement that we've all agreed on. And they may miss the mark. To your point, that third category of how do we make ourselves more resilient to this in the future, maybe job development or workforce development for those that did get left behind the last 12 months. What can we do to make sure they're catching up, with a better job if their old one isn't available?
Everything everyone has said has made sense, but I would also add that we should strongly consider funding and support from people who have, from the community that has perceived harms from our actions in regards to how we've managed the pandemic. I think in addition to obtaining strategic objectives to address inequity and grow the city economically, we also should try to make right things that were inadvertently disrupted by our greater priority on having a safe community. So I'm intrigued by the rebates for, normally it makes a lot of sense to cost out how much it costs to provide a service, and health inspections are a necessary part of doing business. But because of the controversy over our interactions in regards to the economy, I think we should strongly consider rebating those fees for people who may not have felt that those were in their best economic interests.
You want to go into some specific
items
that maybe you heard or did not hear?
Okay, could we go back to the first slide? So I spent not all of my weekend, but a fair part of my weekend in conversation with a variety of people that I invited to give me their feedback on these things. And my experiences over the pandemic have been, and particularly in watching how we've been distributing money for social services, are that there are the social services that we have funded are doing a good job, but they have a limit to their capacity of what they can serve because of just how many people they have, how much time they have, how much money they have. And in fact, we know that there have been agencies that have to give money back because they weren't able with their staffing to do that. So they're doing a good job, but there's still a population of people that aren't there, that aren't being served, that need our help, need our community's help. And to do that, we need to bring in other people to provide those services. And we do have some organizations, two minority-led organizations in particular, that stepped forward and applied for funding under CDBG because of some of the constraints that you have to first spend the money and then come back and ask for the money in reimbursement. That limits their ability to provide those services. So what I want to bring forward are, and I'm going to rely on Randy and some of the conversations Mr. Cole has had with these two particular organizations, but can we do something with a larger portion of money that's been cited on this PowerPoint to assist those agencies with a different set of criteria how they're accountable for it, so that they don't have to spend money they don't have in order to ask for reimbursement, because that effectively is a barrier to their being the people that meets these needs. And the fact that they are community-based and they're minority-led means that they have access to other members of our community who are not being served. And I have an interest in seeing that we serve those members, as I'm sure many of us in the community do as well, now that we know that that need exists. So that's the first thing I wanted to say to council is, I'd like us to, and maybe towards the end of this conversation, we invite Randy up to help us understand exactly what limits our CDBG money placed on them that made it less able for them to access that. Then one of the people that was on our call was someone who was raised in Columbia and lived in public housing. And she said that what made a difference to her when she wanted to pull herself up and out was the availability of childcare. And I don't know how much of the services that we have, the contracts for services that we have let through COVID funding, have addressed the need of parents that need childcare for them to return to the workforce if their jobs, even the same jobs, still exist for them. You know, kids had, like, we closed school. What did we do to parents who didn't have childcare? We prevented them from going to work. Well, not we personally, but the pandemic prevented them. So I want to keep that idea of doing something about childcare so that families have an opportunity to take advantage of vocational training and move up. And then I also want to talk about, we used to have something along those lines of providing social services. We used to have, and I think it was Councilperson Creighton's mission in life, was to have resource centers throughout our community, or at least one resource center. So people that weren't otherwise being served had a place to go to ask for help, to be connected. And I think that the times and what we're trying to build back from call for a return to the idea of resource centers. And how do we put them out closer to people in the community so they can access more information and connect to some of the services as they become available when capacity is there? When we get to the part about, could you go back one slide for me? There we go, hotel, motel, concert venue reimbursement. So one of the people on the call was a festival organizer. And I asked her how many part-time people her festival employed. And she said 300 people receive pay if her festival runs as it customarily has run in the past. That's an awful lot of extra employment for folks who use those pickup jobs to meet their family's needs. So I asked her what would be meaningful for her of all the things that she's, the challenges she's facing in trying to get the festival back up and running. And one of the things that came out was the cost of all the things they're going to need to do to pass the muster of Director Browning so they can actually hold this festival. Again, are things that are easily identified by us. We know what acrylic costs. We know what masks cost. We know what hand sanitizer costs. So when we get to that part, because it also has a component of putting people back to work, I would like us to look at whether or not we can provide upfront the funding for those PPE items for those festivals that not only bring in people to attend and spend their money, but also provides part-time employment and brings people back into the extra income that they were relying upon prior to COVID. Can we turn another slide? Vocational training assistance. Later tonight, we have on our agenda the Plumrose agreement. When that factory is built and we have the opportunity for better paying jobs, and I hope that we work collectively with Ready to help people have a promotional path into those jobs and beyond, we still have an obstacle of how do we get people without regular transportation up to the corridor where we have our food manufacturers on a schedule where it meets the shift needs so that they could actually rely on public transit if they needed to get there. So under vocational training, and not only are the funding that we're going to get, we're talking about tonight, but we all know that there's some money coming from the feds because of the passage of the American Recovery Act. I want us to keep in mind that we look carefully at and are ready to do something with regular transportation up to that corridor where those better paying manufacturer jobs are located. And it, keeping in mind the shift work that we have there. Could you turn to the next slide? I absolutely agree that the municipal court redesign is necessary. A person with disabilities does not have the ability to take the witness stand. Their participation in that room is awkward at best. They don't need to feel less than or different from that. I have trouble with the other remodeling, as important as they are, for meeting the needs of our city residents and us during council meetings. I feel like there are so many other folks out there that are hoping and struggling with how they come back to where they can return to their prior income, whether that was enough for them or not. And so I'm troubled by those at this time. It doesn't mean that these aren't worthy projects at another time, but I'm troubled at this time for those.
Let me just comment there.
Yes, please.
Are you done with there?
I mean, think I am.
Well, and I'll just, I'm not assenting or objecting to your other ones too. Let me just add a counterpart there. This building is 10 years old. Mm-hmm. It was imagined with 7 council members sitting closer than we are now. I don't like Councilmember Thomas and Dr. Peters being at the children's table. Like, it'd be nice if we could raise that up. That would also accommodate a larger council depending on how our city continues to grow, if we needed to add a ward. I don't always have eye contact with the clerk. I could see that being something different there. And again, I don't consider that a remodel, but the technology here is also 10 years old, 9-10 years old. And we know what the challenges that we're having with that, with respect to even moving that podium and having it be a little more, you know, friendly than everything that's here. The other thing with respect to whether we call it that a first floor customer experience or not, between the pandemic and other security issues, we have public facing staff above the first floor that prior to last March, anybody could go up to the fifth floor. For good or for bad. Anybody could walk in the mayor's office for good or for bad. I want to preserve that, but at the same time, make it as convenient and safe as possible for everyone who wants to get in and do business and know they're at the right place, whether that's a business license or pay their utility bill or all those things. And maybe it is better to have some of that component more accessible on the first floor so that we're not, you know, having to take people upstairs all the time. So just a thought. And I, as you know, I'm very covetous of the historic lobby in the old building. I don't want to obscure those elements. But at the same time, I think there might be a way to make all of this a little more friendly, I mean, without it being extravagant by any means.
You know, when we're thinking about those kinds of things, I mean, function follows form. And I guess I was a veteran of the old city council chamber, and the horseshoe was much closer. And we really had more of a communication than we do even on this wide expanse. I mean, I'm not eschewing the prospect of extending this and providing more room for the city council and so on. I think we need the wings as well for this. And I'm not casting any aspersions at the staff, but I can remember the days when the city manager was sitting right next to the mayor. I mean, that was an issue at one point, and lots of communities thought that was pretty outrageous. Politically outrageous. But anyway, we solved those problems. I would like to see those wings. I'd like to see them extended. I'd like to see this dais extended as well. I don't know where this fits in with our priorities for spending money. I couldn't agree with you more for a lot of the priorities you're suggesting. My only caveat on that is whatever it is that we turn over and delegate authority to, we have to have accountability for some of these nonprofits and what. I mean, they've got to play the same rules. We're talking about taxpayer dollars here, and we're responsible for them directly. But indirectly, if we give them to other folks, they're also responsible for them. So we have to make sure that the rules are followed and this is followed through. I tend to agree with a lot of what you have said, and maybe some of this remodeling can wait a bit. I don't know, but it really does make a difference in how this, not only how it looks, but how you interact, and I think that's an important thing that we ought to consider before we just start raising the dais.
I think the remodel is legitimate. You know, we have our own internal needs, and I've got a heart for people who are struggling, and I've spent a lot of time with people who have had a tough 2020 and were having a hard time before that. I think there's, as far as I know, Point has not been one of those organizations that has had capacity issues. It's then the people who are dispensing rental assistance that have had, because they've gotten the rental assistance money, but they haven't gotten the case management and administrative money to support those kinds of things. So, you know, Randy keeps and Steve keep their ears to the ground on what money is going to be best used to help the community. I would definitely trust their expertise and their community engagement processes. But I like Councilmember Fowler's suggestion about, since it's our own funds, we don't have to use the onerous HUD rules, and we could make a more accessible but still accountable playing field so that minority-led organizations can compete. I think that is another unmet need from, or perception at least, and the equity issues in regards to COVID are horrible, and any chance we get to address those, we should.
Let me ask you a question right there. Do you have a sense, or Randy or anybody else wants to chime in on this, do you have a sense if is all of the utility disconnect money spent? It's all been obligated by CMCA. Anybody know that answer? You don't know that?
I do.
It has not been. Okay. Do you think there's a need to put more money in that?
Randy,
you want to come up?
We have sort of spoke about the need for other pieces of that, because I'll let Randy explain.
And I was thinking, going off of Councilman Trapp's terms for rent assistance, so that's what my shop's been funding, is the rent assistance. Steve's been work more closely with utility assistance, and since CMCA has a large pool, we didn't put additional CDBG funds into utility assistance. I know they do still have some available.
Was there an individual cap on how much
per
household could receive?
Yes, yeah. Yep.
Okay, but we still have a backlog.
Yeah, there's still funds available. They are cranking them out. They went through all of their county cares funds for rent assistance, so that was good. They've had good performance. They just have additional funds that could be utilized.
Okay.
In terms of our rent assistance dollars, VAC has obligated all of those on their first round, and they have another round coming.
And those were prioritized to people that were on the bubble of
correct
losing their apartment or losing their house?
Yeah, negatively impacted by COVID.
Okay. Have something.
Yeah. And the part that, and this is going to come up later when Mr. Cole brings up his consolidated annual performance report, but what I haven't talked about too, which I is certainly on my list, is the unsheltered homeless and the chronically homeless, because we know that COVID made that situation so much more acute. And this is a difficult population to serve. Steve's in the room. I remember conversations in the past with Steve about the difficulties of serving this population, but the needs are still there. The room at the inn closed yesterday, last night. I believe that Ms. Graham will be here for some comment at the beginning of council. But so now we have unsheltered homeless that don't have a stable place to sleep at night. We have the chronically homeless that are still out there on the streets, and all of the places that they could go from hour to hour or whatever their pattern was, those places are still not available to them. Things have not opened up that they can use a restroom at a certain location or they can do other things. So that would be the other thing I would add to my list of social services. Trying to find the right mix of contribution by the city to propel forward an effort that's underway with VAC as its lead now. They have signed an agreement to be the lead in the...
Who has?
Voluntary Action Center. They have entered into an MOU agreement to be in the lead to assess the viability of a location that would serve not only for food assistance, loaves and fishes, housing overnight, room at the inn, but also... activity and job training and vocational training for that very difficult chronic population. And so I want to make sure that either in this round of funding or when we get to the additional funds that are coming our way, that we look for ways to support that effort so that it actually comes to fruition.
I did have one thing to add about the I think it was the utility assistance program. We had a lengthy conversation, and Steve Hollis thought that there was a place that could use some attention regarding utility assistance. I don't know. Steve, could you?
Evening, everyone. I would just mention CMCA's funding is limited to energy. So a lot of times our utility assistance helps folks to make their bills complete with trash, sewer, water, those expenses. They do still have the CARES Act LIHEAP money. We work closely with them, but obviously that's going to run out at some point. And the issue with our cash and help program is in real dollars, the donations have gone way down over the last 10 years. So we were thinking this might be a way to seed a more permanent solution, if you will, to utilities.
Money into cash and help.
Yeah, or a similar program. There's some technical things with cash and help that are a little limiting, so we were thinking of a new program that used those same guidelines but freed us up a little bit, because cash and help is actually outlined in ordinance, which limits us on some program improvements. A good example is there's a 5-time lifetime limit on cash or the help program.
Say that again.
There's a 5-time lifetime limit on the help program that's written in ordinance. So you can only get it 5 times.
May I inquire, Mr. Hollis? So two organizations applied for funding under CDBG for the parameters of what was available under Mr. Cole. Are you familiar with the proposals that were submitted by those two minority-led organizations? Because they outline a much broader ability to serve the community. And I wondered if you'd had an opportunity to work with them, talk to them. I'm talking about Powerhouse and Rock the Community. Uh-huh. Are you familiar with both of them?
Oh, yeah. I've been working really closely with Powerhouse on feeding, community feeding. And then I know Rodney and the folks at Rock the Community quite well. In fact, we just funded them through Como Helps. But I talk to those guys quite frequently, yes.
So they have the ability to reach a larger number of people that are currently not being served. And so one of my goals tonight is to put their two capacities into this equation in a format that has both accountability but has the upfront funding, so that we can offer the population that they know how to serve and have access to the same care and attention that we've offered to others. And I have a copy of those proposals if you'd like me to. I printed them out before tonight's meeting. And again, it was targeted to a different funding thing.
Okay.
But they both are registered and have met all the criteria to be eligible under CDBG, which is probably pretty stringent. So.
Yeah, we've worked closely with them both. And I would note, with our social services funding, the tradition has been we actually do pay up front because of that very reason, so that we could contract with grassroots organizations. So I actually inherited that process from Phil Steinhaus, and we've kept it for that very reason. And we do pay 34% up front, and that way folks can get started. We do have them report pretty quickly on units provided, but that is how the social services funding works.
And are you able then to pay, so like you pay 34% up front, and then they bill you at a set increment, and then you give them some more money for the next wave, and the next wave, and the next wave. So you're always giving them operating funds to do the work?
Correct.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Do you have a sense of what their needs are?
So I printed off their proposals. I think they asked for, again, this was a very particular thing that they, after you mentioned that to me, Mayor, I contacted them and asked them to send me their proposals. I think that that's a broader conversation as to, since they can provide services beyond what they asked for under that particular funding. But I would like to see, if you ask me what I would do in dividing this money, I would set half of this money aside for programs that help those who have suffered the most financially, as in job cuts, ability to manage their families, the folks with the lowest financial capacity. I would put half of this money aside, and then working with Mr. Hollis and Mr. Cole, figure out how to deliver more services to that population.
And within that half, you're talking about utility assistance, rent assistance, other
vocational assistance, you know, all the things that would help lift a family up that has lost so much financially and was already in a difficult position when this started.
Would you put the licensed establishments in that bucket, or are they in the other bucket?
I would put that in another bucket, because that's assisting our job creators, and they're important too, but I would have a separate portion specifically for the folks at the bottom that need the most help.
Okay. Any other discussion?
We just asked the half, you say take half the money available. So are you talking about the $500,000 that's listed for public assistance?
No, I'm talking about $1.5 million, since we're talking about $3 million tonight.
Half of the $3
million. Half of the $3 million. And then we can't actually decide how it's going to be allocated, but we have enough knowledgeable people who have data and have good relationships with these organizations, all of them, not just the two I've mentioned, that we could make sure that that money reaches those places that are not being served.
Any further discussion?
I guess I'll just say I like the direction of this conversation. We have systemic forces that really make life very, very difficult for people on the bottom rungs of our socioeconomic ladder, and the pandemic made it much worse for those people than for those of us on higher rungs. So I really like the idea of targeting 50% of these funds to the people who are homeless, are housing insecure, are food insecure, have lost their jobs, looking at those other categories. I'm not sure I see the city council chamber redesign, other than the audio video equipment to allow remote participation in council and board and commission meetings, as a COVID expense. So I would prefer to see it helping those people that were hurt the most, and as you said, Pat, were already struggling before the pandemic.
I'd also like to, what do you need for city employee adjustments?
I think it's $1.3 million, isn't it, Matthew?
Yes.
I also want to keep in mind those that have really been on the front lines of this throughout the pandemic, mm-hmm. during tough circumstances, not just our police and firefighters, but our refuse collectors and our public health professionals and, you know, all the people that couldn't work from home last year that came into this building and were in city trucks and vehicles doing that front-facing work. And we're going to quickly run out of money here if we that, Mr. Scott.
Maybe a positive note. I'm very sympathetic to a lot of what you're saying, and I certainly think the underserved deserve a good deal of attention here, and not so much our dais, or at least not for now. But there has also been we've gotten some reports back. I have, from National League of Cities. One of the recent meetings was Congressional Cities Council. Our conference, and from that group has come some presentations to suggest, obviously the COVID thing is not over, and we have this new bill, congressional bill, and the philosophy has changed. I mean, we ran into a lot of difficulty because the federal government was giving money to the states, which determined how to dole it out to the counties and so on. We had some difficulty even negotiating with the county to get timely payments and so on. That's all changed now. And a lot of, at least the bulk of the future COVID money is coming down to municipalities for 50,000 residents and higher, and some of the counties, and bypassing some of the states. With some of the CDBG rules, nonetheless, I hate to promise something that hasn't here yet, but at least that's the information that I've been getting, that things are very different than they were before, and there is some significant relief on the horizon, in addition to what we're dealing with now with the budgets that we already had and the payments that were ongoing. That we can look forward to. So I think that things are a little brighter than they were before.
Mr. Liu, do we actually have this County CARES Act reimbursement funding in hand?
No.
Have we received any, other than the public health department expenditures for contact tracing, have we received any check payment from the county?
No, we have not.
When do you expect that to occur, 12 months later?
I cannot tell you, Mr. Mayor. I'm sorry.
But all of that money had to be spent 3 months ago.
Yes.
Okay.
We have a signed agreement on those funds, right?
Yes, we did.
Signed by city manager, signed by the county commissioners?
Yes. And I believe it came to council and was approved by you all as well.
Anybody have any idea? John?
Matthew's working with the county to make sure they got the documents that we have in order, and that's what we're working on, making sure they're in order.
I was just going to say the city manager gave me an update. And it seems like, and again, you know, we've been close for a long time, but it sounded like whatever miscommunication about what they had internally about what forms they needed, some clarity about now. Would that be fair to say?
Yes.
And so Matthew's like reached out to him.
We're on a good path to get the money, yes.
I know, it does seem, anyway.
We have the foundation for future discussion.
You have to remember, this has never happened before, so.
Yeah, yeah. So do we want to speak about what you would like to see and what you wouldn't like to see, additions, whatever, to this list?
Do you have a sense after our discussion that the consensus of council exceeds the resources available?
That's a nice way to put it.
The resources that are presented, yes.
Okay. Seems to me that there were two basic themes here, as I picked up on it. One is obviously the underserved, forget about the dais. And the other is having to do with city employees. We need to take care of our own. Between those two things, I think we've exhausted the funds. I mean, how you divide those up is, if it's in half or however you deal with it is another issue. But nonetheless, it seems like that's about as far as we can go at this point.
Yeah. I think, Mayor, what I heard is we'll bring forward the wages for the staff. And then we'll bring back the rest of the money
we'll have Randy and Steve and develop some program that you all have described here tonight to bring forward for you to approve.
And let's try to eke out enough to make a dent in the licensed establishments too.
The what?
The licensed establishments. I mean, if they want a rebate on inspections that didn't occur because they weren't open or weren't open fully, that seems to be a very equitable formula to do so. It's going to
so it may be a little larger than 3 million, so we can do
that. Say that again?
I said it may be a little larger than the 3 million number, but we can do that.
Yes.
So then do we want to continue the first floor customer experience redesign, or is that something people...
Let's push that off. I don't hear a lot of...
Let's see if we can put that in the 22 budget, see what we do with that.
Yep. And then the council chamber, you want to leave the way it is, but the municipal court design, go ahead and do that.
It seems like we're putting that off as well.
Why would we do that that's an ADA problem.
Yeah, the municipal court, I thought that was agreed upon.
I think we ran out of money when we talked about half for the
services,
and then half for the salary increase for our employees. And then working on the licensing and the health department, I think we have exhausted.
Yeah.
We could bring back more than 3 million, and I think there's a way we can do that. I just tried to balance to what we were receiving back.
So the salary adjustments were never in the 3 million, right?
They're not in this 3 million.
Right.
They're over.
Yeah,
and above.
Thanks, Matt.
Not in there. So that's
I think you're
going to be close. I mean, if you between the first floor customer experience and some of these other things you talked about,
The first floor customer experience, the council chamber, and the municipal court, they could be budgeted in next year's budget as well.
Yes. We'll look at that.
So take those out of here and look towards 22.
Or 21 Part B.
We'll have that discussion, yes.
All right. Let's take a 7-minute break.
Thank you.